We invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. First song is Sovereign Over Us. Our next song is the song that we sang for special music last Sunday, Grace. I'd like to begin singing this song. may be seated.
My soul is purchased with his blood. If that's your testimony this morning, I'd like to hear a loud amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to welcome each one of you to our service here at Dayton Mennonite this morning. Special welcome to our visitors. I hope you feel free to join in and worship with us, as well as those who may be watching online this morning. Welcome to each one of you. For a devotional this morning, I would like to read Isaiah chapter 53. I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence. Nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life into death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, it's amazing that Isaiah wrote the words of this prophecy about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And yet, as we look at the four Gospels and see how the trial, the death, and the crucifixion and resurrection, how it all unfolded, the words of this prophecy were fulfilled to the very smallest detail, and it just never fails to amaze me. You know, this was the same prophecy that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when Philip, by direction of the Holy Spirit, ran up beside his chariot and asked him what he was reading, and he told him, and Philip gets up in the chariot with him and uses this scripture as a platform to share the good news of the gospel with this man. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Acts 8, that he not only shared the gospel with this Ethiopian eunuch, but he accepted the gospel and was baptized immediately on the spot. You know, today, as we anticipate our communion service, I want each one of us to consider, as we reflect on this scripture in Isaiah 53, just consider the great price that was paid for our salvation. You know, if you're here this morning and you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, I would like for you to consider verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And I'd also like to say, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I would like you to consider verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our offering this morning is for Eastgate Ministries, and I invite the ushers to come forwards, as well as our special music group. You guys come on up. Let's pray together. God, this morning it's such a privilege to be joined together here in your house, to be able to worship in freedom, and just be together with friends, family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray for your people who are met together around the world today, wherever they might be. God, just bless them and be in their midst. We thank you, Lord, for Eastgate Ministries and the wonderful ministry they have in this community, to single moms, women who have been affected by sexual abuse and trafficking. And we just pray, God, that you would abundantly bless that ministry, that you would give them wisdom and guidance as they share the love of Jesus with these young women. We pray now your blessing on both the gift and the giver, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. So we have some future praise team members up here. So thanks for your gifts this morning. Brings us to our time of announcements. And if there's anyone that has announcements from the floor, be ready to come up. So begin with jail service tonight. Rhett Klein and Marvin Weaver will be going in to share the love of Jesus at Rockingham County Jail. So we certainly want to remember them. Congratulations to Curtis and Morgan Shank on the birth of their son, Elliot Glenn, and also to John and Cynthia for being first-time grandparents here. That's, welcome to the club. Sweet Sunday Shop will be February 17th. WRE Fundraising Breakfast this coming Saturday, February 11th. Ballots for the church leadership changes are due next Sunday, February 12th. And also just a note from Mike and Hannah. So the baby that they're about to adopt that was supposed to be born this last week, it's not been born yet. So continue to lift up the Troyer family as well as the mom who's chosen life and has given up their baby. I'm sure there's a lot of different emotions going on here. Garland?
I like what the bulletin says. Come have fun with your church family on wheels tonight. However, if you show up at 7 o'clock, you're going to miss half the fun. We're starting at 6. At 6 o'clock. 6 to 8 is what we're doing this. So start at 6. There will be a couple dollars if you're going to rent skates, you're going to have to pay a couple dollars for that. Admission itself doesn't get, there's no admission charge per se to get in the door, but if you're renting skates, you will need to pay for that. Bring finger foods, something to share that doesn't require silverware, please, so we can keep the mess to a minimum on wheels, and come have fun.
And don't forget, despite what you said in the bulletin, it's 6 to 8, and not 7. And before we move on with the service, I'd just like to note that our sister Eva Eberly puts a lot of time into the back of the bulletin every week with the prayer requests, and I won't read them all, but these are important things to our congregation, and I would just invite you to not just read them and move on, but, you know, today and in the coming week, spend some time in prayer over these things, and I will certainly be hitting on some of them at the end of the service. Micah, you want to come up? God, I thank you for my brother Micah and his willingness to come and share the gospel with us. And I just pray this morning that he would be filled with your spirit and the words that he speaks would speak truth into our hearts. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. I feel like everything that I was prepared to say could be summed up in what Buff read and what the girls sang. But I'll still continue to repeat it again. I was contemplating what to preach about, and I was wrestling with it, and just wondering, what can I bring this morning that hasn't been said before in regards to communion? This is, I'm not sure, at least my fourth, possibly fifth time I preached on communion in the last less than 3 years that I've been preaching here. So I was like, what possibly could I bring? And then I realized the Lord just spoke to me, and he was speaking to myself, not for you all. He was saying, you know, there isn't anything new that you have to bring. It says, do this in remembrance of me, not do this in remembrance of what Micah has to say or how clever I can be with something. So I hope, my desire is that everything that I say this morning is something that you know, that you're familiar with, that is something that you're living in the reality of, and that these words would be simply a spurring on and a challenge to continue in what's already happening in your life. Please stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have been differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. I'm going to skip over here a couple of verses. He goes into explaining what those evidences and differences were. Picking up in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves." Let's pray. God, I pray that we would be directed by your word this morning, that we would be challenged in these areas of what it means to commune with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I began the week with wondering, why is communion important? I put it up on the Facebook prayer and share, and I did get some responses. Most of them were not from people that come to this church. Other people from other churches responded more passionately than you did. I got a few, but that's the question that I desire to answer this morning is, why is communion important and why it matters to us here this morning? The first reason is it is to remember. Communion is important to remember. Twice Jesus here in this passage says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So what's special about Jesus? And I hope that this is something that you all know very well, but it always deserves hearing again. We had a problem that Jesus was the only one who could fix. And that problem started thousands of years earlier in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to walk away from the presence of God and living in relationship with him and decided to walk in sin and rebellion against God. And what happened was they quickly realized we're naked, so they hid from God. And God came to them and called them out. And God offered a sacrifice. He killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve in the skin of an animal to cover Adam and Eve's wickedness. You jump forward, you see Abraham, you see a promise that his generation, that his family would live on. And eventually, that family finds themselves in captivity of Egypt, being captives, looking for a redeemer, a savior, to free them from captivity. God brought many plagues against the Egyptians, but the final, the 10th plague, was that of the death of the firstborn son, an animal, in every living thing in the land of Egypt, the firstborn of all of them. But the Israelites did not have to live under this curse. The way that they could get out from underneath the curse of the angel of death was that of painting blood of lambs that had been offered on the doorpost of their homes, so the angel would see that blood and pass over the home. It was said to the Israelites at that point, do this yearly. Practice this Passover feast every year. So we jump forward 1,400 years later. So if you think communion is old to you, if it doesn't move your needle at all, 1,400 years later, Jesus is celebrating this Passover with his disciples in the upper room, the Last Supper. At this meal, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and tore off a piece and gave it to each of his disciples and said, "Do this. I'm sorry, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup and said, "This is a new covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of their sins." You know, the disciples had no idea at that point what he was talking about, but they would come to understand in the next hours, years, what that pouring out fully meant. When Jesus said this, he was referring to those hours of suffering, of laying his body down and his blood being poured out as a sacrifice for them and for you this morning. Jesus declared that his blood was a sacrificial offering, which would establish a new agreement between God and man, and God's acceptance of man and women as pure and righteous before him, as a God who cannot accept any form of sin or blemish. You and I were born into that sinful nature. You and I had a problem that animal sacrifice and yourself could not fix. In Hebrews, it says, what the sacrifices of animals could not do, Christ did as the eternal priest. Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve. He became the sacrifice, the eternal Passover lamb for you and for me. When you accept that gift of sacrifice, his blood causes the angel of death to pass over you. As we remember Jesus and his sacrifice this morning, each of us are given an opportunity. If you are a believer in Christ, it's your opportunity to celebrate and to remember what Christ has done for you. Each of us here, were at one point guilty before God, destined for hell. But yet Jesus offers us that gift. And as a believer, you have the opportunity this morning to celebrate that, to remember what Christ has done for us. For the non-believer here this morning, or if you're a Pharisee, if you know all these things in your head, but it has not gripped your heart, the reality of Christ's gift for you, you have an opportunity this morning to lay down your life, to lay down your pride, and allow Jesus to cover your sin once and for all, and restore that relationship between God and you. You know, it's easy to become distracted when it comes to these gifts that we get, you know, these spiritual gifts. I was thinking back on, what did I get for Christmas this year? And I really couldn't remember anything. I think I got some things, but we're just like a little over a month. And you know, you go into Christmas, especially if you're a child or have the heart of a child, and you think, man, I'd like this. And then you finally get it, the anticipation builds, and you finally open your presents and you receive what you desired and you're filled with joy. And now at a month later, can you remember what you received for Christmas after you were looking forward to it so much? You know, I can look at my own life, and often I treat these spiritual gifts with the same contempt and forgetfulness. We are called to remember Jesus Christ as our eternal sacrifice. Why is communion important? It is to proclaim. And these come from this passage. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We see here in this 1 Corinthians passage that there was division and dissension in the Corinthian church. One of the greatest hindrances to communion and proclaiming Jesus Christ's salvation until he comes is division within the body of Christ. If there is division here this morning, it is the greatest hindrance to us communing and Christ being proclaimed here today. I believe that the byproduct of a church having communion is that when people from outside the body of Christ, outside of the fold that have not received Jesus as their Savior, observe the unified church of believers eating and drinking Christ's broken body and spilled blood, the message of the gospel becomes visible. So that was kind of wordy. The reality is, people here this morning that don't know Jesus, that are not under his blood, what we are doing here today is the gospel becoming visible to us here today. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Christians coming and the Holy Spirit being poured out on the body of Christ. And you see an amazing revival happen. People saw the Spirit moving among the saints and they wanted parts of what was happening. And many thousands of people were added to the number that day. There was the proclaiming of Jesus and the work that he had done. What is Dayton Mennonite Church proclaiming here today? What is the word that the non-believer sees and hears through our act of communion today? Is it one of unity? Is it one of proclaiming Jesus? Or is it one of proclaiming our own thoughts, our own desires, our own sinfulness towards one another? Why is communion important? Final point. It's to examine. It is to examine ourselves. Corinthians 11, 27. So when whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Hear this. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment upon themselves. You know, what we're doing here today is important. It's a big deal. It's not something to be taken flippantly. And I believe that I've often fallen into that reality. I'm like, I remember as a young adult, and probably not that long ago, thinking, man, why does this have to seem like a funeral and not, why doesn't it seem more like a celebration when we're taking communion? But the reality is those two things need to coincide with each other. This is a celebration, but it's also a big deal. It's important that we come here this morning examining ourselves and discerning our relationship with each other and the relationship with Jesus Christ, more importantly. There are times in our life that calls us to examine our lives. You know, I was thinking New Year's. People make New Year's resolutions. It's a beginning of something new. And so it's an opportunity to think and to process what needs to change. My next big birthday is 40 years old. And people, you know, midlife crisis is on its way or whatever. You know, it's a time of examination of what has my life looked like? What is important to me? How do I need to shift my priorities? Communion is one of those opportunities in our life to just stop and reflect and examine and discern our lives and where we're at spiritually before God. Communion is the act of worship meant to memorialize Christ in a sacrifice and to proclaim the love and unity among believers. You know, there's a lot of us in this room that communion has become a weapon in the past, or it has been one of being a part of a certain club. Communion is meant for the table of Jesus. It's meant broader than just this congregation. It's the table of the whole body, not just a certain individual body of Christ. You know, this act of communion and unity was not the case in Corinthians. And that's what Paul was calling out. You had people dividing into groups and coming and people leaving hungry and those that left drunk. And they were leaving and having, they were having communion and leaving in an unworthy manner. And Paul called them out on it. They said, you know, there's divisions among you to show which ones of you are righteous. There were some that were righteous and some that were not. And Paul called them to examine themselves and to discern if they were ones that were with Christ or whether they were those that were in an unworthy manner and not following Jesus Christ. So the question comes here this morning, how do we here this morning take communion in a worthy manner? By examining ourselves at this point. 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. It's easy in life to just go through. You know, you accept Jesus as your Savior, you say a prayer, and then your life continues on and nothing changes. 2 Corinthians here says, examine yourself to see whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That's a word for each of us here this morning. 1 Corinthians 10, 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have part of both the Lord's table and the table of demons. That's a big deal. Much of my life, I desired to have one foot into the kingdom of heaven, one foot into the kingdom of righteous living, and one foot into the kingdom of death, into the flesh, into my own desires. You have the opportunity this morning to examine yourself. To examine, are you one that has a foot in two camps? Are you one that has given and submitted your life to Jesus Christ? As we examine, we need to take inventory of our thoughts and our motives, our attitudes and actions, and our unity towards one another. Another thing that can happen in these moments is we can think to ourselves, who is worthy? I'm not good enough to take communion. There's people in my life that don't agree with me, or I don't have every sin in my life. I'm completely defeated. I'll just refuse communion this morning. And if you are a believer here this morning, I believe that the only reason for you not to take communion is if you know that you are living in sin and you intend and desire to continue in that sin. Jesus at the table fed his disciples this bread. He fed them the cup of his blood, knowing that every single one of his disciples would desert him. Knowing that Judas had already planned to give him over to the Romans, but yet he gave them the bread and the cup. If you are a believer here today, do you hate your sin? And do you desire to walk in him, in his ways, and be challenged to the things of God? If that is your heart, if that is your desire, you are worthy because you are depending on Jesus' blood and not your own righteousness. But if you desire sinful behaviors, bitterness, anger, addictions, more than you desire the free gift of salvation in your life, do not take communion in an unworthy manner. Two things here at the end. A question for you to consider. Are you avoiding the table of communion this morning? Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day to be free in Christ. You cannot control another person's emotions or attitudes toward you. What you can control is your heart and your attitude towards the body of Christ and towards Jesus in his salvation for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a professing believer. And maybe you're about ready to run out the door as soon as I start to move a little bit towards that direction, towards the bottom stand. I invite you to stay here this morning. As we just talked about, communion has multiple purposes. It is to remember as for the believer, but it's also to proclaim his work in our lives and us as a body of Christ. I invite you to stay here and to allow this congregation to proclaim to you this morning the freedom and the unity that Jesus Christ brings to us today. I'm going to pray, but I invite the servers to go ahead and make their way forward as I lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your work. I thank you that we cannot do anything to add to your gift of salvation, to your sacrifice. I thank you that you are the eternal Passover lamb. There's nothing more needed in the history of mankind other than your blood. And Father, you didn't only just give yourself, you rose from the dead to give us a confidence to conquer death, that we also will live with you in eternity. Father, I just ask that in this time together would be one of unity as the body of Christ, that we would come together and represent well as a church your freedom in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite anyone who is a believer, who has been baptized, to join us in communion here this morning. If you desire to have communion this morning, I invite you to stand. And once you have received your bread and your juice, to go ahead and have a seat. And then we will take the emblems together once everyone is served. So first we'll serve the bread, we'll take the bread, then we'll pass the cup, and we'll take the cup. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this bread that represents your body. I thank you that you said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This morning, Father, we remember your body broken for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." I invite you, if you're going to take the cup with us this morning, to please stand, and we'll pray together. Father, I thank you for this blood that was shed for us. Thank you that you bore the price of our sin on that cross, and that your blood is an eternal sacrifice for each of us here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.